Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
Welcome back. We are in the third and final hour of today's program here on Live on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. My name is Bongile Lugube, standing in for Naye Lupondwana. And we are continuing our conversation with Pastor Musagwiza as we speak on angels as our protectors. We're speaking about these heavenly beings. We started this on Monday. Yesterday, we covered the demons and their mission. And today, we are talking about the role of angels as our protectors. My pastor, good afternoon and welcome back to the program.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, Swangile, and good afternoon, listeners.
Thank you so much for joining us once again, Pastor. We are talking about guardian angels. We touched on this when we spoke about angels on Monday, and we know that guardian angels are often portrayed in popular culture, but what does the Bible actually say about them? We're going to be exploring their protective role and how God uses angels to carry out his care for humanity. So let's start with this, Pastor. Are there any biblical examples of angels acting as protectors?
Yes, sure. Yeah, if you go to the Bible in Psalms chapter 91, verse 11, beautiful verse, beautiful verse of assurance. The Bible says, "For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all the ways." You know, very assuring verse, very good verse, especially when one is down, downtrodden.
Yeah.
When one is facing the red seas of life,
yeah,
you know, when somebody perhaps is going to stand before, you know, before scary pharaohs in courts or whatever, you know, the Bible is assuring that he just go stomach in, chest out, left, right. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways.
Amen.
You know. And then verses like Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to save those who inherit salvation? You know, we have angels all around us that are commanded. You know, Psalms 91:11 used the word command. You know, so when it comes to God's children, the angels, God does not negotiate with the angels. On whether they should come or not. They don't have a choice.
Yeah.
But he commands them. It's an imperative command. You know, he commands them to come, you know, and guard us in all our ways. And then he said, Psalms chapter 34, verse 7. I think you do also. 34, verse 7. What does it say? I'm opening. It says, "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him."
Amen.
"And delivers them."
Amen.
You know, he delivers them from all their struggles, from all their troubles. You know, he encamps, you know, If you want to see the fulfillment of this, go to Job. You know, the Satan actually knew, he actually complained to God that, "I know you have enraged around Job." So the devil knows that we have around us God's angels to guard us and to protect us. And when Job said, "Remove your hedge to around," when Satan said to God, "Remove your hedge around Job," he never meant of a hedge or a jura or whatever, or a fence. No, he was actually speaking of the guiding angels. That's what he said, he must be removed. Because he knows that he cannot stand a chance as long as the angels are there. So he had to make a plea to God to say, "No, remove your hedge around Job." I'm also reminded of Matthew chapter 18, particularly verse Matthew 18, verse hope you are hearing the fusing of the beautiful pages. Matthew chapter 18, verse 10, "Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven." Beautiful verses. Amen. Beautiful verses. We even from heaven, we have angels that are watching over us.
Wow.
Watching even over the little ones. So when angels are ministering all around us, irrespective of our race, irrespective of our status, angels of God, they are ever ministering to us. Think of Daniel. You know, Daniel in the lion's den. You know, I've heard so many preachers saying that the lions became vegetarians. But the truth of the matter is that God sent angels and they shut the lion's mouth.
Sure.
And lions could not do anything in the presence of angels. Mm. You know. Even in the fiery furnace, the seven times heated furnace that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into.
Yeah.
And the fire could not consume them. Why did the fire not consume them? Fire could not consume them in the presence of the angels. The angels did their job that they were supposed to do.
Mm.
What kind of job it was, we'll understand some of these things by. But what we know is that the fire that day could not burn those who were inside the fire.
Hey.
But the fire burned those who were outside the fire.
Sure.
Talk of Acts chapter, Acts chapter 12. You know, the Bible is awash with evidence of the work of the angels, of the ministration of the angels. Acts chapter 12. I like the verse number 7.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to Acts chapter number 12, there's also some biblical evidences as to the ministration of the angels.
Okay.
Verse 7 says, "Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him." By who? By Peter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was Peter. Peter being spoken about. Remember, in chapter 11, Peter defends God's grace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in where he speaks of when they were in Judea, you know, etc., etc. And then in chapter 11, verse 27, you know, Peter speaks of prophets coming from Jerusalem to Antioch, etc., etc. In chapter 12 now, we hear now Herod being violent to the church. You know, about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also.
Mm.
He seized Peter and put him in prison.
Yes.
And now when you go to verse 5, the Bible says, Peter now was therefore kept in prison, but constantly prayed. You know, see now the connection.
Yeah.
You know, angels don't just come, don't just take home their duty.
Yeah.
Except when you pray, when you ask for them.
Yeah.
And then verse 7 now says, when Peter prayed, verse 7 says, "Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in prison, and he struck Peter on the side, and they raised him up, saying, Arise, angels even strike us, even..." Even raise some of us up, you know, arise quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. Chains don't just fall off.
Mm.
It is just the ministry of the angels that removed those chains in ways that are inexplicable. So angels are there performing their work.
Beautiful.
Those are the biblical evidences that quickly come to my mind regarding the ministration of the angels.
Mm. That's powerful. You know, as you're going through all these different instances, the thing that comes to my mind is the fact that a human being is the only thing that is that disobeys God, because God is able to use,
for sure,
through the angels that he sends, all of nature and science and the elements of this world. They all bow down to his command. So when he tells the fire not to consume the boys, it won't consume them.
Yes.
When he tells the lions that they can't eat Daniel, they don't eat Daniel. Whatever God commands is what happens. When he tells the water not to swallow Peter as he walks on the water, whatever God commands, nature obeys. It's only you and I. It's just us human beings with our stubbornness who don't obey.
Amen.
And it's so incredible to recognize. And I think what you mentioned right at the beginning when you talked about the angels, how God has commanded his angels concerning us. And you talked about when you're facing incredible trials and frightening situations, maybe standing in front.
Sure.
I thought about, you know, the last days when we might be called upon to defend our faith and things like that. And how frightening that might be when you think about it. It's so comforting to know that we have a God who is with us, and he has sent these angels. Whatever the punishment might be, whatever the penalty might be for obeying him, we can trust that nature, the winds and the waves and everything in nature will obey his command. And so we can just trust in that. I thought those were just powerful scriptures that you just shared with us.
For sure. Pastor. So, amen.
So how does God use angels to intervene in the lives of believers? How does that actually happen?
How does it actually like the verses that we've already mentioned, they've already put it across first and foremost that God does works in us through angels.
Mm-hmm.
He does so by way of commanding them to come, and they come by way of, by way of giving them a mission to come and accomplishing it to us. And they do come. But there's something that I want to quickly highlight.
Mm-hmm.
Manuscript, a book called Manuscript Releases, volume 11, page 104, actually brings another dimension, illustration of the angels.
Okay.
The passage that I want to read says, over every man, good and evil, angels strive. So it now brings now a dimension that though we can be surrounded by good angels, we are also surrounded by evil angels.
Mm.
You know, though you have a guiding angel, you also have a demon that also seeks to win you wherever you are. Now, the passage now goes on to say now, but it is the man himself who determines which shall win between the demon and the guiding angel. You know, remember the illustration I gave you yesterday or the day we began of a white dog and a black dog.
Yeah.
So though God commands his guiding his angels to come and minister to us, it is us now who determine which angel wins between the evil angel from the devil and the good angel, the guiding angel from God.
Mm.
So on the whole part on how God sends his angels, God commands his angel to come and deliver us. You know, we speak of Jonah being swallowed by a fish. Yes, God, it did happen. But I still believe that that was the ministration of the angels.
Yes.
That was those were the angels at the wake. Because angels do manifest themselves in so many different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And we have many instances that it is angels, it is the angels that minister to us when we are in danger, when we are, when we are in some predicaments, God ministers through angels.
Mm.
You know, we talk of water that was turned to wine in John chapter 5, the Cana of Galilee.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was no fermentators. There were no companies, there organizations.
Yeah.
There were
no,
but angels were at work, invisible angels were at work to dilute the waters, to add whatever is supposed to be added, so that the water became wine. So that's how God commissions these angels, and that's how they perform their duties.
Amen.
I gave an illustration again of as you walk, you're walking instinctively. Something tells you, look to the right. You look to the right. You see somebody who you were not supposed to miss.
Mm.
And then later on, many people, out of knowledge, we praise that I was informed by my instinct to look to the right, and then I saw you.
Yes.
But there was no instinct that informed you. That was an angel that reminded you. Even in an exam, you pray to God in the morning as you're about to sit for an exam. You ask God, please remind me of every concept that may come in the examinations, all concepts that I learned. When you're sitting in the examination, you see some things that come, things that you never even read. That's the ministration. I believe that's the ministration of the angels. Angels will be waiting there to remind you of things that pertains to your life. And those things for which the angels work, they are not basically for the penultimate things, no. But they have a bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
Those things are for further, far, far, far ahead. They are for your salvation, over and above your material gains, etc. Yes.
So can people encounter angels even today? You've given us all these examples in the Bible. What about in our present day? Does that still happen? And if so, how should such experiences be interpreted?
Yes, we do. People can encounter angels. I like it that the question does not necessarily speak of one side, that is the good angels. but even the evil angels.
Hey.
And for the mere fact that people have spoken of having seen ghosts, having seen spooks, having seen the small boys without birth certificates, I'm thinking about the technologies that call small boys without birth certificates. If those things have been seen by people, if demons have manifested themselves through all those things, then conversely, good angels can also be seen by people. They can also manifest themselves in various ways. We read in the Bible the other day that angels can manifest themselves through humans. You know, a person, I have personally a testimony of having been given a list. I still believe that that was an angel that I met. I've testified this so many times where I preach. You know, when I went to interview about 300 kilometers away from my home, I did not have enough money for you to come back. I need to lodge for the night, you know, but somebody who had given me transport along the way from Bulawayo in Zimbabwe, it's about 300 km going to Kwekwe, another town that is in the Midlands.
Yeah.
And as I traveled, it was towards the night, the interview was supposed to begin the next day. And so along the way, this man had told me that he will only end up in Gweru. He will not proceed to Kwekwe, which is about 70 kilometers from Gweru. And fortunately, unfortunately, but I believe it was fortunate because God was at work. We arrived in Gweru around 9 p.m. I still remember. It was around 9 at night. And so this man dropped me at a place that I did not even know, without even any other clue of where I was going to spend the night.
Yeah.
So he dropped me. And then he left. And I watched him driving off and going. And so as I was now pondering what next now.
Yeah.
Barely after about 3 or so minutes, I saw the same car approaching, but from a different direction. Same car, and with the same person.
Okay.
And this is a true story. True story, man. I'm saying this in the hearing of the whole world. Because I know the followership of Adventist World Radio.
Yeah.
And so, otherwise I'll be guilty not speaking about this testimony.
Yeah.
So, same vehicle, same person, but it's something that I remembered now after having recollected my mind. Now, this man now says, no, jump in. The place that we are at is a place that is known that is infested with tonight. Jump in quickly. Okay. So there was no time to negotiate. I jumped in. And then this man says to me, isn't it you are going to quake? I said, yes, I'm going to quake. But it's the same man. You're going to go. So I just took it for granted that I sent men, just went around, maybe used another way to come to pick me up.
Yeah.
So we went off, we went to Kwekwe, we go to Kwekwe. He said, I know you have nowhere to sleep, isn't it? Now let's go to my place. We went, it was now around the 10-ish thereabout, because it's about 70 km. So it took about an hour or less from 9. So about 10-ish past the 10 thereabout, when Kwekwe went to his house, there was no one. He said, I know, I stay, my wife somewhere, works somewhere. He mentioned another town, I think it was Harare, I don't quite remember now, and said my children are now at boarding school, they're grown up. So he showed me a room to rest. Everything was very fine. Then in the morning, that was around the, I was awoken at around the, it was quite early, about 3, she got about.
Okay.
And there was a ferry taken by the same man to where I'm supposed to wait for the bus. The interview was supposed to be held at a company called Disable Chemicals. They do fertilizers. I'm not sure if that company is still there.
Okay.
But they do fertilizers. They used to do things as a very big and prominent company in Zimbabwe. So the bus was supposed to pick up the workers from there. They pick up along the line, along the place, and be taken to Disable Chemicals, which is a distance also from Kwekwe Town.
Okay.
So I was left there around 3 a.m., something that surprised me. It was very dark. Said, because I need to go outside town today. This time, I'm very late this time. So I dropped there around 3 a.m. So I stayed there, but it was safe. 3, you know, from 3, first people started coming around safe. 4 hours later.
Yeah.
But where I was, it was very safe. But having gone through a house, having rested, for some few hours of the night, but everything was just fine, even the bus, even everything. So I was dropped there. At 7, people came, the bus finally came, went for the interview, everything went very well, even got some refunds and even months, you know, to go back to Bulawayo, everything. Now, after the interview now, I just thought to say, Alo, let me go back to check for that man, you know, check for the house, you know, and up to today, you know, I missed that this was the ministration of the angels. You know, that house was non-existent.
No.
According to the people around there.
No.
Non-existent. There was no person like that in that area. Nothing, nothing, nothing.
What?
Up to today, there's no trace of that person.
Oh, my goodness.
So that's how God sent his angels to minister to us.
Oh, my goodness.
I know many philosophies can come around that story, but I stand by you. I put both of my feet down that was an angel that saved me.
Word.
God sent his angel to me, and that angel delivered him.
Sure.
And I know so many people have got so many stories to illustrate the ministry of angels.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. That is incredible. That's incredible. And I think it must be, it must really do something to you when you think about that. And every time you try and put yourself back in there, and I'm sure you also went back into your mind and thought, no, maybe I got lost. Maybe I went the wrong direction.
For
maybe.
Sure.
For sure, for sure, for sure, for sure. Just to confirm, and
you know, some of us actually are not in the ministry to gain.
Yeah.
But we are in the ministry because we have already gained.
Mm.
You know, God has already shown us his face towards us before even joining the ministry.
Amen.
So we some of us are in the ministry because we are indebted to God, not for God to do something for us. No.
Hey.
He has already done things for us.
Hey.
That's why we are here.
That is incredible. Mm. Wow, what a beautiful testimony. And I wonder how many times we might have come across, how many times we might have come across these heavenly beings, and then we dismiss it for some reason. We find a way to explain
for
it away
that,
it must have been a coincidence.
Yes.
It must have been this or that. But that's incredible.
Uh-huh. Especially instincts.
Yeah,
for sure.
Exactly, exactly. We call it a sixth sense. We call it my instincts. So many different names that we give it. Instead of just accepting.
So many names, so many.
So
just know that it was the power from without.
Amen. Amen. So what is the relationship then between angelic protection and God's sovereignty?
Yeah. Like as we established that Satan says the demons to dissuade people from believing in God, from not seeing the goodness of God.
Mm-hmm.
On the opposite way now, God's angels come in order to convince people for them to choose God and trust in God.
Yeah.
So the reaction, like I've already mentioned, by and large, the work of the angels is not for immediate things. It's not for immediate gain.
Mm-hmm.
But it is for the bigger picture that at the end of the day, you see God, you believe in God, you trust God, you accept God, you become strong, you hold fast in God.
Mm.
That is the ultimate work. Of the angels. So that's why you are even told that when Jesus shall come, he does not come alone. He come with so many thousands and thousands of angels all around him. The Bible even refers to the eaten crowds. You know, remember that's the ultimate. This is salvation time. No, the other expressions of the Bible is that heaven will be empty for half an hour, for something like that.
Hey.
You know, it shows that there is a connection between the work of the angels and our salvation. So angels are celebrating, you know, during that time, that what we have worked for, what we created to work for, it has now finally been accomplished.
Amen.
You know, so yes, it is the mission of the angels for us to be saved. And the angels are all about the salvation story.
Yeah.
You know, on the parables that you read in Luke chapter 15, that when a sheep was found, when a coin that had been lost was found, you know, there was joy in heaven. It does not necessarily mean that it was the Trinity that was celebrating there. No.
Right.
Yes, it was the Trinity, but also the joy was also, it was a rapturous joy. A joyous moment for the angels.
Amen.
Because angels are all about ministry, salvation, and story. So, yeah, they Changes. What now happens next is that you see the end of God, and then you believe in God. You choose to work with God.
Yeah.
Sure. It does not end with the angel. Mm-hmm. It does not end with the angel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody tried to fall down with the angel. I think it was John in Revelation. Mm-hmm. And the angel quickly refused honor and glory. Said, no, don't fall down on me. Mm-hmm. I'm also human like you. Mm-hmm. But praise be to God. Amen. So it does not begin and end with the angel.
Yeah.
But there is a bigger picture behind the angel and his mission. It is for you to see God and then to choose God and be saved.
Amen.
So that is the connection between the work of the angels and salvation.
Sure, that's powerful. Pastor, how do we conclude today's session?
Let's conclude by some beautiful quotations here that also strengthen the work of the angels.
Yeah.
I have here, what do I have here? Lift Him Up with a book by Ellen White, page 209.
Mm-hmm.
It says the angels are all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who shall be heirs of salvation.
Mm.
Shall we be privileged to cooperate with the heavenly intelligence? You see, that all angels also work only when we cooperate with them. The Ministry of Healing, page 105. Angels are ever present where they are most needed. With those who have the hardest battles with self to fight and whose surroundings are the most discouraging. Sometimes you get discouraged to think that you're walking, you're fighting your battles alone.
Yeah.
But the Bible is assuring us, the spirit of prophets, that the angels are even with those who have the hardest battles with self to fight.
Yeah.
The Adventist Home, page 405. Good angels are ministering spirits, exerting a heavenly influence upon heart and mind, while the great adversary of souls, the devil, and his angels are continually laboring to accomplish our destruction. So good angels are ever fighting, you know, refusing the devil to snatch us away from the grip of God. The Acts of the Apostles, page 154. I like that one. We need to understand better than we do the mission of the angels. It would be well to remember that every true child of God is the cooperation of heavenly beings. Invisible armies of light and power attend to the meek and the lowly ones who believe and claim the promises of God. So, like I said yesterday, let me underline it again, that as I'm speaking from this end, guiding angel is here by me. As you are also talking by your end there, from broadcast to baptism, the guiding angel is there by you, ministering to us with the sole mission that ultimately will end with the salvation of the people.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. What a beautiful conversation that was. And thank you so much for the reminder of the fact that we all have these guardian angels, the work that they do, the fact that they are commanded by God, that God is ultimately in control of everything, that they are submitted to God. And because of that submission, they have been given so much power to protect us, and we must cooperate with them so that that can bring about the best outcome for all of us. And of course, the highlight was that beautiful testimony that you shared. Thank you so much. God bless you. And we'll connect again tomorrow, same time.
Thank you very much. God bless you.
Amen.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.